The Bible said that his mercy endureth forever. Often there is a phrase that goes along with the word mercy that describes how long mercy will last. It endureth forever. And we praise God for that. We know that his mercies not only endure, but they are renewed every day. If it's not for the mercy of God that was renewed this morning, you would not be able to survive. The world could not stay as it is. The heavens could not stay in the place that they are in tonight. If God's mercy was taken away tonight, what would you be like? I want you to turn to 2 Samuel chapter 7. And I'm going to read a verse to you tonight. And I want you to think about the mercy of God. Now, we understand collectively tonight that the mercy of God exists because we are here. We are in the building tonight. The world is not in a chaotic state. There's not meteorites and the sun's not getting closer to us. And the world is still revolving in the orbit that God has placed it in. The Bible said that it's all kept in store by the word of his power. But yet it is the mercy of God that sustains it so that you and I can have a place to exist and to live in this world. Amen. Do you believe that? The mercy of God is very important. And so I trust that we'll understand that tonight. And there's many times that men have cried out in the Word of God for mercy. David said, "Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am weak. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, consider my trouble." David said, "But I trusted in thy mercy." And so mercy is mentioned throughout the entire word of God and in multiple books and the prophets. When God was judging the nation of Israel, they cried out, "Lord, have mercy." They desired for God's mercy to be manifested. And we thank God for renewed mercies. We thank God for days when mercy is refreshed. The psalmist said that when revival takes place, that mercy and truth will meet together. And we understand that the truth condemns all of us. I was talking to the class today in our study of the life of the Lord Jesus, and we were talking about the condition of the world that existed when Christ was born into this world, the period of time that Jesus came into this world, and we talked about how that man for 2,000 years had been cursed by the fall. A woman had sinned in the garden. Man had walked into it with his eyes wide open. She had been deceived, but he made a conscious choice to sin against God, God's commandment. And in doing so, man plunged into a fallen state, as we know as the depravity of man that exists today. Then, after man has lived by his conscience for all those years, then God sends a man by the name of Moses on the scene, the emancipator of the nation of Israel. After they had been found in bondage in Pharaoh's court, they were serving as slaves. Then the law came into existence. So man was cursed by the fall. Then man was cursed by the law because he couldn't live by it. Amen. The man couldn't live by the law in the energy of the flesh. And because of his sinful condition, because of his inability and the lack of power to be righteous before God, he's under a curse. And so with that being said, we understand that the truth of the Bible declares emphatically that sinners are judged. Sinners are under a curse. Sinners are condemned. Man outside of the grace of God is of all men most miserable without the mercy and grace of God. The word mercy means this. It means favor. It means kindness. It means pity. It means that God has been faithful to show favor and goodness and pity to you and I. Say, "Well, preacher, I don't need anyone to pity me." You need God to pity you tonight. Amen. Each one of us need the mercy of God. Is it possible to physically exist in this earth without the mercy of God? Can you take steps, breathe air, and function throughout the day without the mercy of God? Well, I want you to listen to what the Bible said in 2 Samuel chapter number 7. In 2 Samuel chapter number 7, we have in this chapter God referring to David and establishing his kingdom. And God begins to establish a covenant with David. We call it the Davidic covenant. We call it a covenant in which God establishes with this man who was after his own heart that he would establish his throne forever. That's why it was so imperative that the Son of God be born in the city of David in Bethlehem. That's why it was so important that he be of royal seed, that he would be born of the seed of David, because God in Jesus Christ is going to fulfill, is going to grant unto David the promise that was given to him in the book of Samuel when he said, "I will establish your throne forever." And here's what he says in verse 15. Of 2 Samuel 7. He says, "But my mercy shall not depart away from him as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before thee. But my mercy shall not depart away from him as I took it from Saul." Now, I don't know tonight if any of us could really put a particular place, or maybe put our own finger on the place where God took his mercy away from Saul. I got a pretty good idea, I think, where the Lord took his mercy away. Saul began to have some issues. He began to rebel. He began to let things take place in his life. And in that rebellion and in that austere way that he had, he would not listen to the man of God. He would not submit to the preaching of Samuel. He would not hear. He's the king of Israel. And so he takes matters in his own hands. Is anybody listening tonight? Not only did he not fulfill the direct promises of God that were given to him, he stepped out of his position and he stepped into the position that God had never given him permission to step into. And I could take the word of God and show you place after place, but I'm going to tell you what. When Saul had mercy, even though he was head and shoulders above everybody in Israel, he was a humble man. You young boys listening to me, you can live, some of you better listen carefully to me, because there's people that's left this church in the 25 years that I've pastored it that I believe are outside of the mercy of God. Now I'm going to tell you what happened to Saul. Saul was head and shoulders above everybody. And when God used Samuel to anoint Saul to be the next king of Israel, he told everybody about finding the asses and everything that took place, but he never told anybody that he had been anointed king. He was humble. When the mercy of God is manifest in your life, you'll have a measure of humility about you. When they anointed Saul, or not anointed Saul, but declared Saul to be the king of Israel, you know what else happened? The Bible said that he was hid. He wasn't walking around, you know, with his hands in the air like a politician waving at everybody and, you know, smiling and kissing the children and saying, I'm the king of Israel. I'm the man that you placed in the position to serve you. I'm going to conquer our enemies. I'm going to lead us to victory. And God's hand's on me. God's anointed me to be king." No, Saul was hid. He was humble. He was a man that had a spirit of humility, even though he was king, even though he was a great and a mighty man. He was a humble man. But then God, somewhere in his life, because of his rebellion, and here's what he rebelled against. He rebelled against what the man of God told him. That simple. He didn't rebel against what he read the Bible, what the Bible said in his devotions. He didn't rebel against anything but what the man of God had preached to him. And I'm going to tell you something. You can sit here week after week, Sunday after Sunday, Wednesday after Wednesday, and stare at the light, stare at the floor, and discard truth and not listen to the truth of God's word, and you can ignore it all you want to ignore it and try to turn a deaf ear to it. But I'm going to tell you something. Truth is a serious thing that's been preached in this day. And because Saul stepped out of his place, because Saul had turned a deaf ear to the truth of the word of God, the Bible tells us that God took his mercy from him. How close are you from God snatching his mercy away from you tonight? With mercy, humble. Without mercy, a totally different individual. You get home tonight, you take the rest of the week and read the life of Saul, Brother Crabtree, in the Bible. And you read the life of Saul. You preacher boys, preacher men, read the life of Saul this week. You Sunday school teachers, read the life of Saul. You young people in the school, read the life of Saul. And you read his life with this thought in your mind. With mercy, without mercy. With mercy, without mercy. Without mercy, he's going to kill his own son.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Without mercy, because there's been a great victory that's been wrought, because Jonathan has dipped his sword in the honey and had his eyes enlightened and strength given to him, and because of the vow that Saul had made and the declaration that he had made, oh, he don't have to do anything anybody says. He don't have to do. He's not going to do what the man of God says. But God forbid that you don't do what he says. And Saul, because of his own pride and because of his own revenge in his soul, he was going to kill his own son who had just wrought a great victory in Israel. And if it hadn't have been for the people of God that stayed his hand, he would have slew Jonathan. Without mercy. That's without mercy. I'm not talking about Saul having mercy. I'm talking about Saul being without the mercy of God. There's nothing he can do about it. There's a spirit that comes over him. David's over there playing a harp, driving that evil spirit away from Saul. David's got a harp in his hand, singing the Psalms of Israel, driving the bad spirit away. Do you know what Saul's got in his hand? He's got a javelin. Because he don't have mercy. The very man that is trying to console him in his backslidden, wicked, ungodly state, the very man that God is using to comfort him and drive this angry, wicked, bitter, hateful spirit away, is playing a harp because he's been anointed and has the mercy of God. And Saul, three different times, I believe it is, took a javelin in hand and thrusted at David with a desire to take his life. That's without mercy. You without mercy? Saul's killing people. Anybody that aids David, he'll slaughter them. Don't make any difference if it's priest or prophet. I mean, you read the word of God, Saul, you read the word of God, Saul even, or Samuel even felt threatened by Saul. You read the story of Saul without mercy. Samuel felt like that Saul would kill him.
Yes, sir.
Without mercy. God said, I took it from him. He took it from you. You better pray to God he hadn't. Because Saul is destined to die on a hill. The sad part about it is there's a lot of people going to die with him, and his own family is going to die with him. You better be very careful tonight, church. I believe Saul was a saved man. I'm not going to argue that with you tonight, but the Bible said that God gave Saul a new heart. The Bible said that Saul prophesied. But I'm going to tell you what, Saul made some bad choices with truth. And I know salvation's a New Testament term as we use it, but I believe that God had his hand on Saul. I want you to read it this week. And I want you to meditate on the mercy of God. And I want you to think about, with it or without it, which way do you want to live? You want to live without the mercy of God? You look at Saul's attitude, Saul's spirit, Saul's hatefulness, Saul's bitterness, Saul's revenge, Saul's contention, Saul's malice, Saul's desperation. Oh, he's going to a witch before it's over with. Oh, he is so eat up inside with turmoil and anguish and questions. He has no answers. He can get no word from God. Samuel's dead. He can find no contentment and no peace. He can find no means of getting anything to get direction and guidance to govern his life. He is in a whirlwind. He has no idea what to do next. And he's facing death. And the shadow of that death is lurking heavy over him. And he goes to a witch. Disguises himself. You'll be amazed where you'll go looking for something without mercy. You'll be amazed how far you'll go without it. And I promise you, I believe tonight that there are people in this church, there's young men in this church tonight sitting on these pews that are standing on the brink of taking the next step. There come a day when Saul took a step over the boundary of God's mercy and God said, that's it. I'm done with you. Do you understand me? Your daddy may not be finished with you. Oh, Jonathan loved him. David wouldn't put his hand on him. Is anybody listening? Oh, Johnny, you may have a daddy that'll pray for you. You may have a friend, Chance, that'll love you just like David loved Saul. There may be people still reach out to you. There may be those that will care, that won't hurt you when they have opportunity to get revenge. You've hurt them. You've hurt them. You've destroyed them. You've tried your best to destroy them anyway. And you've tried to bring harm and hurt to them. And yet when there is a time when they can just get you out of the picture and go on with their life, they won't touch you. They care that much about you. But you're without mercy. Isn't that a sad thing sad state to be in? Y'all know what I'm talking about? Allison, do you know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about getting to a place when everybody that's loved you all your life still loves you. And everybody that's prayed for you all your life still's praying for you, Miss Wood. But God's took his hand of mercy away. I want to worship. I want to worship. I want to worship. And Samuel just kept walking. I want to worship. And Samuel finally turned around and granted him his request, didn't he? No mercy. Without mercy. I tell you what you do. You'll pursue the wrong enemy. You'll fight battles that God never intended you to have to fight. You may wander around in the wilderness for 40 years. There was a group of people that wandered around in the wilderness, and the only reason they were there is for the time clock to spin until they dropped over dead. And what they were doing, they were walking and living without the mercy of God. And that is a serious thing. You better be very accountable and responsible to truth. And you better quit playing games with the grace and mercy of God. Because there is a time when God says that is the end. It's over with. I'm finished. And David can protect you all he can, but you're going to die. Samuel can let you worship, and he can give you all the things you need to worship. Jonathan can still saddle up. Your son can still saddle up and go to battle with you. And he'd be willing to die for you and die with you. And your life can almost go on normal, but you know that you hate every step that you're taking because you're walking outside of the mercy of God. And I promise you, you don't want to live that life. Because you'll die somewhere defeated with those that you love, and you would do everything you could do to sustain their days, and they'll spiritually die with you. Isn't it amazing when people are away from God? I believe Jonathan was a good boy. David was a man after God's own heart, but he didn't love anybody like he loved Jonathan. And you know what? After Saul had got away from God, and God had already anointed David to be the next king, if Saul would have just said, I know that I'm finished, and I know that it's over with, and I know that I can't rule no more because of the choices I made, I believe that David had the character that he would have provided for Saul all of his days. That's why I believe he went after Mephibosheth for Jonathan's sake. But do you see the roller coaster Saul's on when you read that? Look, notice the roller coaster. Saul will admit, you're more righteous than I am, and I know you're going to be the king of Israel. But then it's not very long that he's right back in the same shape again. The same hatred, the same malice, the same strife, the same contention, right back the same place. That is a life without mercy. And I know it's kind of somber tonight, but it's very important that you understand that the mercy of God is a very serious thing. And if you've got it in your life, you better take advantage of it. Live in it, rejoice in it, thank God for it, and understand tonight that they're renewed every day just for you. Amen. Saul messed up. I don't know how many times Saul messed up before God said, that's the end, that's the last time. But I know that God gave Saul chance after chance, opportunity after opportunity to do right. But there come a time when it was over. You in mercy or out? In or out? With it or without it? Brother Norris preached along these lines on Monday night, and man, it bore heavy on my heart through the night of the people that are doing the things that they're doing. Living the way that they're living. And they do so. I've had people say, how can somebody live like that? with what they've heard? How could somebody go that far with what they know? Saul went to a witch. Saul's seeking after David's life. Saul was going to kill his own son a couple of times without mercy. Without mercy, you'll do some crazy things. And I'm going to tell you what you better do. You better embrace it tonight, hang on to it, and walk in truth while you have an opportunity. You better hear your pastor tonight. The mindset. The mindset. The flagrant. I'm going to tell you what, I wasn't right with God, but I did not do the flagrant things that I've seen young people that's left this church do. Walk around with an attitude of arrogancy and pride and hatefulness. That's serious. No respect, nothing but total disrespect. I'm not going to pacify it. You can pacify it. And you can pretend like you've got a burden for them and pacify their sin. But I'm not pacifying their sin. And I promise you, me and my wife probably call their names in prayer far more than you do. But I'm not pacifying their sin. They flaunt their ungodliness in front of your children and in front of your family. They come back to church and they're dressed like heathen. Amen. You try to go visit them in the hospital and they're half naked and won't even pull the clothes up over them when ladies and young ladies come in to see them because they got a burden from them. You know what that's about? That's without mercy is what that is. It's a good, I hope to God it's not, but it's a very good possibility that that's without mercy. And I'm going to tell you something. You do not want to live your life without it. That attitude toward the man of God, that attitude toward the Sunday school teacher, that attitude toward a godly mom and dad, that attitude toward the church, that attitude toward working for God and being a part of the will of God, that attitude about things that are spiritual, that distance, that alienation. If you'll go home this week and you'll read the life of Saul, you'll see every bit of that in his life. When he's without mercy. Great is thy faithfulness. The faithfulness of God is seen in the fact that his mercies are renewed every day. They endureth forever. And you need them. But the Bible says that God took mercy away from Saul. God took it away from him. He said, I've given David mercy. I took it away from Saul. That's God's business because he's God. But he took it away. That verse in Proverbs that Jim read, Brother Jim read several weeks ago about how they would rebel against truth and God would give them over to their own devices and the destruction of sin would overwhelm them. That's someone that's without mercy. Just like Saul. And I promise you tonight, you don't want to wake up in the morning without it. And if I wasn't right with God tonight, I'd get right with God. If I wasn't saved, I'd get saved. But if I wasn't right with God tonight, I would get right with God. I preached last night on Noah walked with God in a wicked world. And I brought the verse that I preached on things that pertain unto life and godliness. And here's what I said. I read verse 11 of Genesis 6. The earth was corrupt, and violence was upon the earth. Men were wicked and ungodly. I said, that's life. That was Noah's life. That was the world that Noah lived in. And then the Bible says in verse 8, I believe it is, or maybe verse 9, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generation, and he walked with God. That's godliness. God hath given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. The life you live is the world you're in right now. This is the generation. You're not going to go back in time or step out into the future. You're where you're at right now, a part of the will of God today. And the best thing for you to do is accept that reality and understand that God has given you the opportunity and the ability and the provision to live godly in this present world. I never noticed this before. I've heard people get up and say, I found God. And then I've heard people rebuke them and tell them that, you know, you didn't find God. God wasn't lost. And they are just trying to tell you that they got right with God in their own way, in their own words. But I'm going to tell you what that Bible right there says. That Bible right there says that Noah found grace. Now, every imagination of man's heart's only evil continually. And everybody in the world was looking for sensual sin, drunkenness, revelings, and a way to fulfill the lust of the flesh and the lust of their eye. Everybody was looking for some way to be wicked, except one man. And he was looking for grace.
Amen.
And he found it.
Amen.
The question is, son, what are you looking for?
Amen.
Because you're going to find what you're looking for.
Yes, sir.
And I'm going to tell you what. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Thank God for that verse. But that same grace, the Bible said, the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us to deny ungodliness and worldliness, to deny ungodliness. Do we be sober, deny ungodliness, worldliness, that we should live soberly in this present world. Right now today, right now, walk out there right now. There's a provision of grace so that you can live godly, holy, pure, in that world, right out there, outside them walls, Brother Joe, that world right out there. The grace of God that saved you in the generation that God has chosen for you to live in,
yes, sir,
can teach you to serve God.
Amen.
In this world.
Amen. Amen.
That's the grace that Noah was looking for. Noah didn't have her to walk with him as he walked with God. Noah didn't have Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Noah didn't have him. It was just Noah.
Amen.
Every imagination of man's heart was only evil continually.
Amen. Amen.
Everybody. Well, preacher, you know, I'm just around the wrong crowd. Well, Noah, the whole crowd, everybody was wicked in Noah's day. Everybody. I mean, he couldn't even go down the street and drink a cup of coffee without drinking a cup of coffee around somebody that was a filthy mouth heathen.
Amen.
But Noah was looking for grace that would see him through. And he found it.
Amen.
And he lived for God.
Amen.
And he was a man that lived his life under the shadow of the mercy of God. Saul was a man that had it taken away from him. I promise you tonight, you do not want to be that man. You look at the crowd that's outside of the mercy of God, and they're having to settle for the trash of this world. I don't know how many times I've got a text. I don't know how many times I've got a text over the last several years that goes along this line. I can't stand my life. I can't keep living the way I'm living. I can't take this much longer. Somebody's going to get hurt, but I can't go on like this anymore. But you know what they do? Just like Saul, they wake up the next day, pick up the sword, and start chasing after David again. And it's a serious thing.